Hi there, and welcome to another Osler podcast. My name is Todd Fraser. This podcast comes to you from the 25th annual Noosa meeting of the ANZICS Clinical Trials Group. Non-invasive ventilation is steadily establishing itself as a crucial component of the critical care armoury. While many patients can tolerate it, some require sedation. Dr. Wissam Albassam is a staff specialist at the Monash Medical Centre and Victorian Heart Hospital. He's the supervisor of training, a part one examiner, and an organ donation specialist. Wissam is passionate about education and research, and his interest areas include mechanical ventilation and sedation. And he joins me today to talk about the role of dexmedetomidine in NIV. Wissam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Todd, for having me.
Wissam, why do patients on non-invasive ventilation need sedation?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think all the patients will need sedation. I think maybe 70% or 80% will cope well with NIV, especially after some time they experience relief of their symptoms. I think most patients eventually will like it. However, we can face a problem with NIV for multiple reasons. We should highlight the pathology of the disease. I think it's the main contributing factor. And this is, in fact, non-modifiable. As you know, if someone with ARDS, for example, or severe pneumonia, usually things will get worse before it's getting better and ending up intubating them. To answer your question, why we need sedation, it's mainly for people who cannot tolerate non-invasive ventilation. And that can be multiple reasons. Something we can optimize as clinicians at the bedside include pressure support level, for example, PEEP, leak, the amount of leak and pressure that we provide. So ideally, we provide low level of PEEP and pressure support and escalate and more also for us to explain to the patient what to expect, especially if it's that the first experience. And then if that doesn't work, because they are developing delirium, agitation, the stomach is inflated, they experience unpleasant, symptoms. I think that's where sedation can help the patients. And I think that will be the main thing that we as physicians and clinicians at the bedside can use dexmedetomidine or other type of sedation to help the tolerance of the patients.
Wissam, are there particular patient groups that tend to struggle with non-invasive ventilation? Is it a predictable occurrence?
Is it predictable? I think it's same as patients who develop delirium or at risk of delirium. So elderly people, people who've been in the hospital for a long time, who are sick in a noisy environment, lack of sleep, all these environmental issues, more likely to face delirium, hence the tolerance of NIV or any type of procedure can be challenging.
When we talk about sedatives for non-invasive ventilation, what are some of the problems with using sedation in this patient group?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And we actually don't know much about that in terms of studies and what's been done. There are some very little studies in this field, surprisingly, using different type of sedation. There are studies which include only 80 patients post-extubation, and those who deteriorate after extubation. Usually they are not ideal cohort to do a study on, as you can imagine. However, they use some sedatives for these 80 patients and found that sedation can help and decrease the rate of intubation. However, in this study, they didn't use any control group. And also there's another observational studies of NIV and found ramifentanil. They used ramifentanil in this particular study. I found that ramifentanil has some success rate. Also, there are case series with propofol and all that. And it's field that we actually need to explore a bit more. Hence, the Canadian group, critical trial group, actually did a survey. Well, this is unpublished data. They're preparing the manuscript. And they asked different intensivists in Australia, Canada, and Saudi Arabia. So three different countries, different cohort, and 160 intensivists included or answered the survey. And like about 45% actually rarely or don't use any type of sedation, and only one third who consider that as a usual practice for them. So it's quite divided, and it just tells us that we don't know maybe how to use it or not. The main barrier was in this survey that the intensivists told us is the concern about over-sedation, as you can imagine. Over-sedation decreased GCS and hence requiring invasive mechanical ventilation and intubation. And that's something we want to avoid when we use non-invasive ventilation for multiple reasons, and we can talk about later on. So the practice is, I have to say, is uncommon. When they did the survey, they actually found that people use different things. Mostly they use boluses of medications such as opioid, benzos. Interestingly, in this study, they avoid, or they wanted to avoid propofol and ketamine. These two medications in the survey that intensivists didn't want to use. And also they were for dexamethasone, about 85%, 85% would consider dexamethasone in this study.
Now, you mentioned dexmedetomidine there. There is, despite it being around for 25 years or so, it's still sporadically used. For those who are unfamiliar with it, would you mind just reviewing quickly the pharmacology of dexmedetomidine?
Yeah, definitely. So dexamethasone is alpha-2 adrenal receptor agonist. So it binds to the presynaptic alpha-2 adrenal receptor, and it eventually inhibits the release of noradrenaline, so decrease the stimulation. So it's kind of opposite to all other alpha receptors agonists, because the other alpha agonists, for example, adrenaline, they bind to alpha-1 postsynaptic. But dexamethasone bind presynaptically and hence decrease the release of neurotransmitters. It avoids stimulation of the adrenal receptors. And that leads to, decrease the heart rate, decrease blood pressure. And because it acts centrally, it can decrease the level of conscious state. And of course, that can be used as an anxiolytic factor. And that's the main use for intensive care units. Of course, as a result of that, you can see people with hypotension and bradycardia, and that's something we need to monitor. The other, it's kind of cousin of clonidine, which comes also in tablets and IV preparation. The difference is dexamethasone is more titratable. It is metabolized in the liver, so it's highly recommended to be avoided in liver failure and derangement. So that's something to watch.
With some, what is it about dexmedetomidine? What are the features of dexmedetomidine that make it useful in this particular scenario?
Yeah, so I think it's the anxiolytic factors. It's can calm patients, make them more collaborative and tolerant of the procedure. In this case, is non-invasive ventilation. What makes it useful? Also, it's quite titratable. So you can titrate it easily and ideally to match ARAS aim, whether you aim for -1 to 0, -1 to +1, depends on the clinician and the response to the patients. Different to other medication, it doesn't affect your airway, like ketamine, for example. It's also anti-delirium agent. So as you know, benzo and opioid can be more or cause delirium and agitation. So that's what's make it maybe, optimum. I wouldn't say ideal, but that's the theory. It's maybe optimum in this situation. There also, if we talk about research and studies, there's not much for that. But again, the Canadian group published systemic review and meta-analysis, which included 12 randomized controlled trials and included total 738 patients in the use of dexmedetomidine for non-invasive ventilation. The randomized control trial was either versus standard of care or versus another sedation. So it was a heterogenic population. However, the trend was more towards or favorable towards the use of dexmedetomidine non-invasive ventilation. So very importantly, mortality-wise, there was no difference in mortality. I think that's important point because we worried about over-sedating people and all that. So mortality was equivalent in both groups. I'm happy to send you some reference after the podcast. But what it showed in the systemic review that it decreased the rate of invasive mechanical ventilation in favor of dexmedetomidine compared to other studies, also decreased delirium and decreased length of stay and intensive care. However, because of the heterogeneity, I think more studies needs to be done. And, if you look at the systemic review, it's actually doesn't give you the full answer. And we need to have more studies.
Has there been any work done in other contexts where patients are not intubated for sedation reasons or anti-anxiolysis reasons?
Not intubated patient, unfortunately, not much for this group of patients. As you know, there are many studies for intubated patients, SPICE study, and now up to SPICE 4, and other studies which shows that in intubated patient, it can decrease delirium and even can be beneficial and decrease ICU length of stay and intubation. There are some clinical guidelines, which was called PADIS. PADIS stand for pain, agitation, sedation, delirium, immobility, and sleep disruption guidelines. And they recommend the use of propofol and dexmedetomidine over benzodiazepine for sedation during invasive mechanical ventilation. And also suggest the use of dexmedetomidine if patient is agitated before extubation. But for non-intubated patient, not much really in this field, unfortunately. Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
And that, of course, leads us to the study that you're involved with, INDEX. Can you tell us about INDEX and what it will do?
Yeah, so I have to thank our Canadian critical trial group, led by Kim, Associate Prof. Kim Lewis. She's leading the international study. And we here in Australia gonna initiate Australian arm. It's multi-center international studies. And the principal research question is, does dexamethasone, when compared to placebo, reduce non-invasive failure? And the definition of that is the need for endotracheal intubation. The population is going to be included in the study is in-hospitalized adult with acute respiratory failure and NIV intolerance. So they have to have respiratory failure and could be any cause, whether it's APO, COPD, you know, immunocompromised patient who has pneumonia or others according to clinician. And they have to have intolerance to non-invasive ventilation. So it's blinded study and multi-center, as I said, with parallel group and placebo-controlled trial. And everyone's going to be blinded, so healthcare worker, investigators, patients, data collectors. And we're going to see what's going to happen for these kind of patients. We are also aim to include non-ICU patients, someone in HDU, for example, in respiratory HDU outside of ICU. Hopefully we can also include them. You can use dexamethasone up to 14 days. However, I don't think any one of us will use it for 14 days, but we'll see. And there are some other exclusion criteria if the patient already bradycardic or hypertensive or have some hepatic failure. And of course, if the treating physician thinks that not suitable for this particular patient, these patients will be excluded.
Finally, with if people are interested in getting involved, is it possible for them to join the study? And if so, how do they do so?
Yeah, we actually already have 17 or 18 sites involved, but we're looking for 20 to 25 Australian sites. So, of course, we're happy for people to be involved still. We actually applied for funding, Australian fund, to MRFF. But the Canadian group already has funds and they are generous with their payments. So if people now want to include it, I'm happy to be contacted, or Alice, our research coordinator, can be contacted as well. I can give you the email later on if people are still interested.
Wissam, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. All of OSLA's content and features are completely free. Get access to all our podcast interviews, as well as hundreds of modules, journal reviews, quizzes, and articles by downloading our free app. You'll also be able to access our logbook, and any OSLA learning you do is automatically recorded in your CPD diary. Search for My OSLA wherever you get your apps, or visit our website at oslacommunity.com.